After the day of Pentecost, 3,000 had been saved. The Lord had told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Peter had told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and that they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And they were baptized, 3,000 that day. Picking it up in verse 42, they, meaning those who had become believers, the church, the first church, the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's element number one, is the teaching of the Word of God. And to fellowship. Well, that's element number two. And to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which is involved in that fellowship, and prayer. So prayer is the third element that I wanted to highlight out of this passage. And then he goes on to explain some other things. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And actually, I want to tie that in with the prayer, because I believe if our prayer life is where it should be, we're going to see a lot of impossible things that the choir just sang about. And we're going to be able to see some things that God is the only one that can get the credit for. You know, it was amazing. One of the subsequent miracles that happened in Acts chapter 3, if you kept right on reading, a crippled beggar's healed. And Peter said, hey, I don't have any silver and gold, but what I do have, I'll give you. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Well, boy, that caused a stir. And when they came and questioned Peter about it, he said, if you think we did this on our own power, now this is the Beaver Dam translation. He said, if you think we've done this on our own power, you are crazy. He said, the Holy Spirit's the one that healed this guy. And so what we need to understand is that God will perform many wonders and miraculous signs. And I believe we need to look at God with an expectancy. That he's going to answer our prayers. And even though, I've had some that are unanswered. That's when you've got to persevere. That's when you got to trust him anyway. But I'm telling you, we need an expectancy, and I think it's found in prayer. And I believe the Lord's starting to challenge me again to do more prayer and fasting. And there's some things that work through prayer and fasting. That's another element. And I don't want to go on a hunger strike. I don't want to just do without food. But as we believe God to see some change, and as we get our hearts to where we actually expect Him to do what He said He would do, then I think that we're going to see some more miraculous signs. Every day they continued to meet together. Oh no, they had all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying all the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the five elements, again, let me just recap it before we get into the first of those five. Is the apostles' doctrine, which is basically teaching of the Word of God. Because it was not their teaching, they were teaching what Jesus had given to them. And that's something we need to understand, is that it's got to be found. And I will say again today, and any time I preach it, it goes without saying, I don't say it every single Sunday, but I mean it every time I stand before a group with the Word of God. You better discern the Word of God. You need to look at it yourself. You need to read it yourself. You need to think yourself. Now, I'll share with you what I feel like and am convicted of, absolutely convinced of. One of the reasons I don't handle some of the questions as publicly as I could and would be glad to talk to people about is because I want to tell you what I'm convinced of, what I really see. And there are some things in here that I don't see. There are some things that I don't understand. And those are honest questions, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what I want to tell you, anytime I stand before you, please take the Scripture. Please examine it for yourself. Please hold it before the Lord and say, Lord, show me what the truth is. Now, I appreciate Willard, and I appreciate what you've given him. And we love our pastor, and y'all do. You really do. It's so obvious to me. I've got the best job in the world. But you don't need to just say it because Willard said it. You need to say it because it's been revealed in your heart by the Spirit of the living God who lives on the inside of you, because the correct interpretation of Scripture comes from the Spirit of God Himself. So, but we got to seek Him. We got to spend time with Him. You got to learn how to hear His voice. And so I want to challenge you always, no matter what is being taught, hold it before the Lord. Ask the questions. I don't mind. And so hold it before the Lord and make sure that it's something that you see from the Word of God. So the apostles' doctrine, the teaching, is the first element we wanted to look at. Second element, just to give you all five of them again, and we'll start on the first one today, is fellowship. The third one was prayer. The fourth one is praise and worship. There's something powerful. It's untapped. There's a whole lot more that we can pull out of this bunch up here. And they do a great job. But as we begin to praise the Lord, I'll tell you about my preaching like I'll tell you about their singing. If all the worship you do is here on Sunday morning, God help you. Now, it's wonderful. And when they sing, I get inspired, man. It really does something to me. But we need to be praising Him throughout the week. We need to be worshiping Him in our private times and in our corporate times. And when we come together, we need not be ashamed to worship God in whatever way is appropriate. And there's a lot of ways that are appropriate. Sometimes I'm very still before the Lord and quiet, believe it or not. There have been times I've been in His presence and I don't know if I could have talked or not. I didn't want to. And then there are times that you've got to be vocal. Praise, by definition, is spoken. It's like you can't have a silent song. You know, so you gotta lift your voice up. And there's a time to do all of that. Worship's another element. It can be quiet and it can be very expressive. And in the body of Christ, there's all kinds of expressions. There's a lot of churches, a whole lot louder than this one. And there are actually some that are quieter than this one. I was listening to a preacher yesterday, a black brother. He said he went into one of the black churches and he was preaching, and he was just hitting the points, and he was hitting it hard. He was expecting some amens and some hollering and some shouting. He said that was the quietest bunch he'd ever seen in his life. He said, I was judging my own people, wondering what in the world. Either I ain't preaching good or they're just dead. And he said that's what he was thinking. He said 11 people at the end of the service came up and told him how moved they were and why they were moved. And he said he had to repent. He said we all bring prejudices into everything we do. And it's true. And see, I came out of a tradition that was a whole lot more vocal than we are. A whole lot louder. I mean, you can get up and dance and hoop and holler and do all kind of stuff in some of the Pentecostal churches I've been involved in. And when I came here, the Lord told me clearly, very expressly, don't judge anybody in their worship. It's not my worship. It's His worship. And that what we got to do is understand that I won't judge the loudness. I won't judge the silence. I'll try to just let the Lord do what He wants to do, but we need to worship. So that's another element of it. And then lastly, we have got to be, it's imperative, church, that we get outside of these walls, as wonderful as it is here, and bring other people into our fellowship so that they can enjoy the fellowship that we enjoy and that they can know the Savior that we know. They're going to hell all around us. Hell is real. They're staying away by the thousands. There are more people in Columbus County today not in a church building than are in a church building. And if you filled up all of the church buildings, and we got a pile of them, there's a bunch of them everywhere, and some of them are woefully empty. But if we filled them all up, you wouldn't have the population of Columbus County. And you say, well, preacher, you're getting mighty high-minded here. You think we can get everybody? No, but I don't know who we can't get, so I'm going to try to get everybody. Does that make sense? Can y'all think of one person right now that you are convinced that saved, that you are really surprised at? Anybody come to mind? Well, see, I could come to some minds, and that's the truth. See, You never know what God's doing. You never know how He's dealing with people. You never know how your prayers are making an impact because you can't see the convicting hand of the Holy Spirit of God. And so the fifth element is that we need to be evangelistic. So I've given you the five again this morning. Let's begin to look at the first of these, and we're going to talk about teaching. The first element. Essential element of a New Testament church. If you will, look in your Bibles, or I think it's on the screen, Matthew 28. Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. All of us are familiar with this. I could ask right now, and most of you could tell me what we call this teaching. What is it? Say it loud. The Great Commission. Everybody in here is very familiar with this passage of Scripture. And what happens is that frequently when we are so familiar with something, we've heard so many sermons on it, we almost sort of tune it out. But let's hear the word of the Lord again, because this has got to be pretty important. This is one of the last things He said to His disciples. This is one of the last recorded messages that He gave in person before He ascended into heaven. And here's what He said. He said, Jesus came to Him and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Now, all means everything. There is no authority. And something I want you to understand, there's a difference between power and authority. Now, our Lord has both. But I want you to understand there's a difference in power and authority. Let me illustrate it for you. If you are riding down the highway and a guy with a snappy-looking uniform on steps out, he's got a pistol on his side, says North Carolina Highway Patrol, and he walks out in front of your vehicle and he holds up his hand, what you going to do? Well, y'all are smart. I'm telling you, I'm in the right place. Well, I'm in the right place. You're going to stop. Well, now, has he got the power? Let's take Gene Nance. If Gene stood up in front of you, held out his hand. Now, some of you just wave and keep on going. You probably would. But anyway, if he held out his hand and he said stop, you're going to stop. Well, now, if I'm going, I got a little old sport track out there, four-door sport track. Little old short wheelbase, ain't much of a trunk on it. That's why I got another truck to do my work in. But you get that thing going about 55, and a man stand up in front of you. Has he got the power to stop you? No, he does not have the power to stop you. I mean, the laws of physics and common sense will tell you that he does not have the power to stop a vehicle moving at 55 miles an hour. But what does he have to stop you? He's got the authority to stop you. He got the authority from the state of North Carolina. Because if you do not stop, he can get on the radio and he can call his buddies down the road. He can say, all right, I saw Willard. He's driving a sport track. Give him the license number. Said he wouldn't stop. Stop him. Well, guess what? I'm going to get down the road. I might not get to Fair Bluff for. I got a roadblock in front of me. Now, what am I going to do? He's got the authority to be able to stop you. Now, what we've got to understand is that Christ has the authority. He is authorized as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is in charge of everything. Oh, He's got the authority over the entire planet, over the entire creation. Well, that begs the question, why then is all this evil going on? See, this is philosophically called the problem of evil. But what I want you to understand is that God gives us a choice. God gave Adam a choice. Adam chose to sin. He chose the wrong, he made the wrong choice. And Christ, in His authority, allows us free will. He could make us serve Him. But it'd be sort of like me making Terry like me. How do you make your wife like you? Do you know how to make, you know? I mean, Mike looks like he needs some help. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. So, see, God gives us the choice. And so while he still has the authority, but he also has the power. Now here's what happens. He has given to us his authority. I am authorized by the creator of the universe to make disciples. I have the authority. I've been authorized. He said all authority has been given unto me. He said, I've got it. Go to the next verse. He said, now, therefore. Well, now, one of my favorite Bible teachers back when I was a youngin', or a teenager, pardon, guys, when I was young and had plenty of hair and was skinny. He used to say, when you see a therefore, stop and see what it's there for. So why is the therefore there? Why did he even say therefore? Because he has authority. See, the therefore here is, he's got the authority so we can go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, Chris, I'm authorized. I'm a deputy. I'm authorized. I can stop somebody and talk to them about the Lord. Now, am I going to make them get saved? No, you can't. By definition, it's got to be, you know, you've got to receive him. See, I can't make you receive him. I can make you say a lot of stuff if I've got a gun on you and you believe I'll use it. You might say a lot of stuff. But it's sort of like, you know, a little boy when his daddy made him eat the collards. He said, well, you can make me swallow them, but you can't make me like it. See? And so while we may, see, we don't want to force anything. He didn't tell us to force them. He said, make disciples of all nations. Now, a disciple is a disciplined follower of a teacher. And so what he's told us is that he wants us to go and make disciples. Now go to the next verse. Let's look at it. This thing keeps on going. And what? Teaching them what? What do we teach them? To obey everything I've commanded you. Now, again, I want to tell you, he didn't say what I suggested that you do. A commandment is something that needs to either be obeyed or rejected. If you obey it, you get the benefit. If you reject it, you get the consequences. And so what he said to us, he said, teaching them everything I've commanded you. And so what we ought to do, at least, if we're going to claim to be New Testament Christians, we at least ought to know the commandments of Christ. You ought to be thoroughly acquainted with the four Gospels. You ought to know what he said. You ought to understand and let him interpret to you exactly what he means. There's some tough stuff in there. This business of turning the other cheek, that's tough stuff. This business of forgiving somebody when they've sinned against you over and over and over again, that's tough stuff. And so what he said is that what we're to do, we've been authorized, we've been given the authority to be able to teach all nations. Now that presupposes some stuff too. That means everybody. That means if they are human, Homo sapien, that we've been made to be one race, one blood, is what Paul said in Acts. Made of one blood, all of us. And so we're to be going to everybody. Everybody that we can encounter. Anybody that we can have a relationship with. And so that means that if you are breathing and you are human, you're a candidate for the kingdom of God. And so he said, teaching them to obey everything. Now, does that leave anything out? No. The whole enchilada. You got to do it all. In other words, find out what he said, understand what he said, try your best to live by what he said, and teach others to live and to observe his teaching and know what he said. And then this is such a wonderful promise. This is why we can keep it up. Surely I am with you always. Always. To the very end of the age. In other words, he said, hey, look guys, teach it. Figure it out. Find out what I said. Share it. Live it. Teach it. Make disciples. A disciple is a follower. We ought to have folks following us as we follow Christ. That's what Paul said. He didn't just say, follow me. Christ said, follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And that's what Willard says. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's why I told you at the beginning of this sermon, check me out when I preach to you. Go to the Word of God and see what the Lord would speak in your heart. And so what he wants us to do is he wants us to be his spokesperson. Because he is not here in the flesh, but you are. So you've been deputized. You've been authorized. You have the authority to be able to proclaim the Word of God. And to be able to teach others to follow the teachings of our Lord and Savior. And so what I would say in relation to this, and I'm so glad that he promised that he'd never leave us, what I would say in relation to this is that we need to be students of the Word of God. We need to be studying the book. And I want to challenge you. If you've never read the entire Bible, I want you to do it. Now, what I would like to suggest that you do, if you've never read the entire New Testament, start with the New Testament. Now, you can get bogged down. I'm reading in Leviticus right now. It is tough reading in Leviticus. I am so glad, and that's a whole other question, and actually an issue for another day, and I'd love to entertain some of your questions on some of that, but you need to realize that the law has been fulfilled, not abolished, but it is fulfilled. And so we're under a new covenant. We're under a different covenant than Israel was, and that I'm not Jewish. And some of this, and you can say, well, now, wait a minute, Willard, you got to be careful here, and I do. But I want you to understand that we've got to follow the teachings of Jesus. He knew how to apply the law properly. And so what I want to share with you, I want to challenge you. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because many of you have read the entire Bible multiple times. And so what I want to challenge you to do is start, pick up the book. Pick up the book. Somebody spoke to me this morning and said, I read 11 chapters recently. I said, man, keep it up. Keep going. Keep reading the Word of God. And ask Him to explain it to you. Don't just read it. Don't just listen to it. I got an app on my phone. I listen to it every day. And sometimes I have to listen to it again because my mind got wandering. That's why sometimes I will listen and read at the same time because I can stay more focused. And I'm not driving and wondering who's going to pull out in front of me. So we need to have some time in the Word of God. We need to understand the teaching. And I want you to understand that the Spirit of God who inspired every word in this book lives on the inside of you. So if you want an interpretation of it, hey, I'm all for studying. I got all kinds of books. I love to read. Love to read behind people. I listen to preachers. I love to hear sermons. I don't get preached at a whole lot. I have to listen to somebody preach. I'll pick them up on TV or YouTube or whatever. I've got some favorites. I quote them often in here. But I want you to understand that the best instructor that you can ever get concerning the Word of God lives on the inside of you if you're born again. And so we need to take the Word of God and try to live it as best as we can as we understand it. And we are authorized to teach, and He will be with us forever. So He is with you. You are not abandoned. You are absolutely not by yourself. All right, another scripture I want us to look at. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 24 through 26, let's look at this. Timothy's talking to Paul. This is a great See, 2 Timothy 2:2 is one of my favorite passages because it's there that he's told, it's a generational thing. He said, whatever I've taught you, what you learn from me, you teach to others who can in turn teach to others. This is a real teaching passage right here in 2 Timothy 2. At the very first of it's when he made that statement I just told you. But here's the points I want to hit in beginning in verse 24. The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. See? I don't want to win an argument. I want to win a soul. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't want to impress somebody with my vast knowledge. Okay. I don't want to one-up somebody. And I don't want to argue about it. I'm just not going to do it. I really am not. I'll pray for them. I don't mind being challenged. I really don't. But I will not. I'm just not going to quarrel. Just not going to do it. Because we're instructed not to be quarrelsome. But to do what? I'm glad he puts the buts in there. It's easy to tell me what not to do. Here's what to do in order to not do what you shouldn't do. You got that, didn't you, Jordan? Jordan's a state man. He got that. Okay. All right. He said, but must be kind to everyone. And that's the ones that are standing in your face telling you how they don't believe that there is a God. That's the one who's just saying, you've just been brainwashed. I've heard all of this. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just some dumb hick. I'm glad you got this security. You need your little security group there. You know what I say when they say stuff like that to me? Boy, I sure do. And I wish you'd come with me because that's some of the nicest people I ever met in my life. But what we've got to do is to be kind to everyone and able to teach. See, we've been given the instructions. We need to be able to teach, not resentful. All right, Josh, hit the next one. Opponents must be gently instructed. Listen, gently instructed. See. One of my favorite Bible teachers, I quote him often, and I quote this quote all the time. You know it's coming. There's never an occasion to be unkind. You gently instruct people in the hope that God will grant them a repentance leading them to a knowledge of the truth. And they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who's taken them captive. To do his will. We need to be liberators. I'm not going to condemn somebody. I'm not going to walk up to somebody and tell them they're going to hell. I'm not going to walk up to somebody and tell them if they don't quit this, they're going to bust hell wide open. Hell's real. I'll talk to them about hell if they want to talk about hell. But what we need to do is be gentle. And what you know what's interesting to me is that the pastors, this is a pastoral epistle. This is my job. And it's all of our jobs. It's not just my job. But there's another verse in the Bible that talks about that we needed to instruct those who oppose themselves. See, their opposition's not against me. Their opposition's against themselves. Because if you oppose the Lord, if you are spurning His salvation, if you're rejecting the love that He has for us and the fact that He can come into your life and change you. How you like this? I got to get used to this thing. All right. You're opposing yourself. You're standing in opposition. And I feel sorry for those folks. Now, don't misunderstand me. I got enough MacPherson in me that you can say some stuff to me and make me pretty mad. But I got to handle that. I got to hold that. I got to give that to the Lord. And I'm not going to get into an argument with anybody. I'm just not going to do it. Just not going to do it. I'll pray for them. See, they can't, hey, and I won't talk to them unless they want me to. Now, I will try to be nice enough that they'll listen to me and try to be sensitive enough to the Lord that He can share with me what I need to share. But, guys, we need to be people of the book. We need to be teachers. We need to be taught. I'm telling you, I get more out of every sermon that is ever preached in this building than anybody in here does. Because I study to be able to receive it. So take the Word of God. Study it. Look for opportunities to be able to share. You'd be amazed at if you will start memorizing some scripture, how the Lord will bring it to you when you're talking to somebody. And you don't have to impress anybody. Mike, you don't have to say, well, 2 Thessalonians 5:17 says, you know, you can just say it. Say it in your words. You can say it in the Lord's words. You can quote it if you want to. You can show it to them in the Bible. Sometimes if I'm talking to people on a one-on-one situation, especially if I'm in their house, I'll ask for their Bible. Now, if they don't have one, that's very telling. If they do, and I don't say it to embarrass them. If I do, I want them to see it in their book. Sometimes I'll turn to the scripture and say, read that. Now, you got to be careful with that. I've asked some people to read before they couldn't read. So you better know who you're dealing with. Don't want to insult anybody. But so what you got to do is we need to be people of the book. We need to be teachers of the book. And he's told us, he's given us the authorization to make disciples. And I want us to be a disciple-making church. Now, we do a great job. Our children's ministry, honestly, these guys do such a good job. Our youth, they get great instruction. In Sunday school, we have good Sunday school teachers. And as we break open the Word of God, God moves. But folks, we got to teach in here, and we got to share out there. Because, see, you've already been delivered from the trap of the devil. We got to go after those that have not been delivered. As we prepare our hearts for the invitation, what's the Lord saying to you? It may be that today the Lord spoke to you to get a comprehensive program of reading the Word. You might have been challenged today, and if you are, tell somebody what you're going to do and make a commitment and find a way to keep up with it. Get into a Bible reading program. Read through the New Testament. If you've read the New Testament and you're familiar with it, then make sure, I challenge you to make it an annual event that you read the Bible. Now, I read something in the New Testament and the Psalms and the Proverbs every day because sometimes I can get legalistic if I stay in the Old Testament. And so what I have to do is I sort of mix it up. It just works for me. Might be a good suggestion. I've got a friend of mine that challenged me one time, and I've been doing it, and it does make a difference. There's 31 days in most months, not all of them. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So whatever corresponding day it is, so I skip 30 and 31 occasionally. Skip 31 more often. But I'll read a proverb chapter a day corresponding to the day of the week it is. You'd be amazed at how much you can learn. And it's really getting a lot more familiar to me now because I do that once a month. I'll read a psalm a day because I need to praise him. I'll read out of the New Testament. I'll read a chapter out of the New Testament every day. And then I'll read several chapters out of the Old Testament so that I can read it through that year. And I struggle with some of it. And I'm telling you right now, I'm in Leviticus. It's a struggle. And Numbers gets even worse. And this first part of Chronicles, boy, I tell you, and then some of those names. But here's what I want to tell you. The Word of God is quick. Means it's alive. That's what that word means. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And David said, I've hidden your word in my heart. Why? So I won't sin against you. One of the most powerful things we've got is a wonderful gift. And I was thinking about it today. I got so many Bibles, I get tired of toting them. I mean, really, I got a study Bible on this one, this version, that version, this study notes, this one, Spirit-filled Bible, the other Bible. You know, there's all kind of Bibles. I got so many, I just give some away every now and then.
But we need to take His Word and apply it in our heart. We need to know the teaching of the Word of God. And so my challenge today is whatever God is speaking to you out of this message, I want you to share it with somebody. And then be accountable. But I want us to be people of the book. What's our hymn? 490. As we stand to sing 490, the altar's open. If you have a need, if God's spoken to your heart about something and you want to share it with me, come on. But find you an accountability partner. And maybe you can challenge each other. Iron sharpens iron. And let's be people of the book. So the altar's open. If you have a need, please come. And let's bring it before the Lord.